Father, we just thank you for today, Lord. I thank you. You have pre-orchestrated this, Lord, for preparing hearts to receive the truth. And so, God, I thank you that as we come, Lord, desiring to be your disciples, we know that we have to be taught, we have to be trained, we have to be pliable. And so, Lord, we come and we come into your presence on purpose right now, declaring that you are a good God, declaring that you love each one of us, Lord, and declaring that we are taking our responsibility serious, Lord, in following you. So, Lord, help us to follow in your footsteps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I've been teaching this series on discipleship, and it was exciting. Were you here last week? So did you enjoy that interactive sermon? Well, three people did. Okay. Well, we did, right? And so we know this, that it's time for the church to get back into proper position. And the Lord is trying to put us back into the proper position that we can fulfill God's plan on the earth. And so we're preparing, seriously, the way for the Lord to return. Recently, the Lord's been talking to me about we are in a place and a position and time frame of history that is similar to when John the Baptist was preparing the way for the Lord to come. We, as his people, are preparing the way for our Lord's return. Now, we know him, and John the Baptist didn't really know him, but, I mean, he didn't know him in the way we know him as Savior yet, but we have him as Savior, and we're preparing a way for him to return to the earth for his church, his beloved. Amen? And so we're preparing the way, and so all of us have to understand our purpose, and our purpose is Christians need to be discipled. Do you know that? Now, what is wrong with many people is that people have, you know, started discipling them, and then either they drop them off and quit discipling them, or they started discipling them in error. And so people have been fatherless. They have not had a spiritual person to speak into their life. And so those people need to be discipled further. And that's why some people have to seek out another Paul. They have to seek out somewhere where they're being taught, okay? And so the other thing is that Christians are called to disciple others. Say, Christians are called to disciple others. Okay, so we've been saying this in this series so that we can understand the weightiness of what we're called to do because it's important. And so when I went back over all the things that the Lord has been saying to us over these many weeks, I figured out these things that Jesus was looking for in a disciple who could disciple others. Okay, so the first point is that Jesus was looking for those that would answer his call. So have you ever tried to call somebody and you know that they really heard the phone ring, but they ignored the call? Okay, and you know, after a while you get to know they're only going to pick up that phone if they want to hear what you have to say. Okay, well, Jesus is looking for people who will be discipled because they will answer his call when he calls them. Amen? And so Jesus said simply to Peter, James, and John, and we went over this, that he said, follow me. And these people just dropped everything they were doing. They dropped their business. They dropped their family. They just like, okay. Why? Because he spoke these words that changed their life, and they started walking in his footsteps. But then there was Saul. Do you know who Saul is? He ends up being Paul. And so he didn't just say, hi, Saul, follow me. No, he has already risen. He's already in heaven, but he knows that Saul is going around killing people, and so he has a different kind of call for him. You know, the ones who think they're doing right, but they're really not doing right, and they're wreaking havoc because he was going around killing people all of the time that called themselves Christians. And so Jesus called him out with truth. And he called him out with truth that was so powerful, it knocked him on the ground and made him blind for 3 days. I think that's pretty powerful, right? And so he said, a light shone around him from heaven, and he fell to the ground, and he heard this voice saying, Saul, So why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, hey, follow me, because Saul wasn't going to follow just anybody. He wasn't going to follow him if he announced anything. He had to make a statement to him. And so Paul said, well, who are you, Lord? He knew that he was Lord because only a Lord, only the Lord, could have that much power. And so he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord answered, and he said, I am Jesus that you are persecuting. That is about as clear as you can get. And then he was 3 days without sight. And I believe he didn't have natural sight, but I believe this is where he had spiritual sight, where God was digging all of that wrong doctrine out of him and replacing it with the truth of who he was. And so the transformation was Paul arose. And Paul ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament. Aren't you glad that Jesus called him and he answered? Amen. And so Jesus talked to him personally, but the point is they all heard Jesus' voice and they all responded to it. Amen? So if we all start the same way. We all start by him calling on us. We all start that way, but then we all have to decide if we're going to answer the call or we're not going to answer the call and to stay in fellowship. Okay. When Jesus calls you, it can be very different for every individual. So you might cry. You might feel your heart pounding inside of your chest. It could come from an evangelist calling you. It could come from, hopefully, parents that raised you right. It could come from a friend who is telling you the truth about Jesus Christ. When I was writing this, I was thanking God for how good he's always been to me, and that I'm grateful that I was raised in a Christian home, but it wasn't my parents that led me to the Lord. My parents taught me about the goodness of God. They taught me to pray. They taught me to believe in God, but I didn't have that personal relationship until I was in third grade. How old are you in third grade? 8. And so at that point, I was in a vacation Bible school. And it was just some person that volunteered to be a vacation Bible school teacher. Do you know that I can't tell you whether it was a man or a woman? I don't remember anything. All I remember is they started talking about Jesus. And it was the end of all of the learning. It was towards the end of all the classes, and they started talking about this in a different way where it was becoming so personal to me. And I was like, I know about the Lord. But Jesus, I wanna have you. I wanna be different. I wanna walk with you. I wanna be one with you. I want something to change in my life. And so at that point, you know, it wasn't the prayer that changed me. It was the experience that changed me. It was that when I called upon the Lord, he answered. When I asked him into my heart, he came. And when he did, I became a disciple of his. I didn't know what my future would look like. I didn't know all the trials or the tribulations. And, you know, I've had trials and tribulations, and who hasn't? And I mean, some of the trials and tribulations that I recognize that other people have gone through are much worse than what I've gone through. But I can tell you this, I've never given up on Jesus because he never gave up on me. And so no matter what we go through in life, you have to be the ones that answer the call when he calls. It can be when you're one-on-one with him. It just has to be that you say yes. It just has to be that you recognize that he's calling on you, and he's calling on you with a purpose. And he's calling on you because he loves you. He's calling on you because he knows your potential. He's calling on you because he's trying to unite himself to your heart and give you opportunities. And so always just be grateful. I was so grateful thinking about all of this and through all of my life. And if you have a grateful heart, he comes. He says he inhabits the praises of his people. So always be looking to Jesus. And when you are thinking about how good he is there. Respond to him. Amen? So the next thing that Jesus is looking for in disciples is to be teachable and to receive correction and apply it. Now, we say that we're teachable. I mean, everybody thinks they're teachable. Well, maybe some people don't, but I think everybody thinks they're teachable. But to receive the correction means that you change from it. If Jesus was only speaking to his disciples, and all along the way as he was training them, they just kept doing the same thing they always did, do you think they would have ended up being who they were? Because he was depositing in them the ability to change the world. And so to change the world, as we studied out, they had to change within themselves as he pointed out what was wrong with them and adjusted them. And so today, it is the same thing. Jesus is looking for disciples who are going to be willing to be teachable and to apply what he said that is different than what you thought. Now, you know, when I say this, I usually freak people out, but I have changed my doctrine in the past. And I don't mean against the word of God. I mean, some things are just set in stone. But my opinions about things have changed concerning the word of God. Because when God shows up and shows me something that I didn't understand before, and he puts a revelation light on it, and I understand it, then I have to change my thoughts to really engage with the truth of his written word. And so one of those things that easy for me to explain is prophecy, and that I didn't know that prophets were still, you know, active. And, you know, and if there were prophets that were alive in the land, there was just like a few. And I had no idea what the scriptures meant when they said all can prophesy. And I didn't know the difference between people that could prophesy and people that were prophets. And so when this was new information to me, I had to study it out and can be convinced by the written word of God that what I was saying and what I was going to do was written in God's word. But once I found it and I was convinced of it, I could go forward with it, and I had to change my mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? Teachable and correction and adjusting myself, and we have to apply it to our lives. Okay, so we don't realize that at some point in our life, we're all going to be tested with this. God is going to ask you and pressure you on some things in your life that you have been indoctrinated in that may not be what God is doing, may not be what he's been trying to say in his word all along. He'll never go against his written word. That is your safeguard. So if you want to know what's right, you've got to keep going back to the word. But some things are hidden until they're revealed. And when they become revealed, God begins to announce it. God begins to raise up people that are saying the same things and proclaiming the same things. And some of the things that we are believing right now, I believe as the body of Christ, is about ready to get exploded because he's expanding our understanding to know that we are able to do and should be doing things on the earth that we have not been engaging in. That means our mind has to change. That means we've got to get his heart on a subject matter. We've got to find out what is he doing, what is he saying, and how can I engage with him? And then things are going to begin to align with his kingdom coming to earth. And so we cannot say, oh, well, I believe this way. People ask, well, I won't say that because that'll confuse you more. I'm going to say this. I am open to God. If you can prove it to me in the word. And it can't be taken out of context. It has to be throughout the written word. We have to be teachable. We have to be changeable. That's being a disciple and being able to grow. Amen? He says, John wrote this, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we're not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we have to keep walking in the light as he is in the light. There has to be a consistency of going after him. How many of you have been walking in the light and then all of a sudden you realize you're not as light as you used to be? Right? I mean, it's the truth. And how many of you know he's a good, merciful Savior? And it doesn't matter how many times you have to go to him. He said he is faithful to forgive you of your sins when you confess your sins and to once again cleanse you from that unrighteousness. But that means you have to turn. It means that's your opportunity to turn from that sin. Amen? And so we have to stay out of darkness. And we can't say, the point of John saying this here is that you can't do what you feel like doing that is against what God's heart is and say you're not sinning. You can say you're not sinning all day long, but if you're sinning, you're in darkness and you're still sinning. It doesn't matter how many times you say you're not sinning. Somebody the other day, little child, was saying something that wasn't quite true, and so somebody pointed it out as a lie. You know, we'd like to say, that's not quite true, baby. But somebody said, well, that's a lie, and you know where liars go. I'm like, well, I didn't say that, but they did. I'm like, if we had more training like that, maybe people wouldn't be so apt to lie. You know, maybe we need to teach them that it's true. This is what the Bible says. So we have to be willing to receive correction and to apply it to ourselves. Amen? Jesus was always patient and kind, so don't go out there and be yelling at everybody. But he was always patient and kind to his disciples, but he was always insistent on them hearing the truth and adhering to it. Amen? Okay, so he insisted of his true disciples, the next point. Operate out of a heart of love for the Father and for his people. Now, yeah. So, Jesus, even though he said hard things, a lot of hard things, that people didn't even understand, Jesus didn't say it with anything except for the heart to reconcile them to the Father. And so you have to always be, if you're a disciple, how many of you are disciples? Okay. You have to operate out of a heart of love for the Father and for his people. And that means that you don't get to choose who you love. Do you know that some people are just easier to love than others? Some people think they're really easy to love, okay? Notice he said that when Janice isn't beside him. So Jesus took time with his disciples and he showed them how to operate in love because they had to receive and believe and have the impartation of love that came from him for them to even be able to love. Do you know that you can't love properly without God's love operating through you? That is really the truth. He is love, and he wants us to operate in love. And that means that you have to love your spouse. It has to mean you have to love that person sitting next to you. It means you have to love your boss. It means you actually have to go out of your way to love people. Now, that does not mean that you need to let anyone abuse you. It doesn't mean that. Love is not staying blind to abuse. It's not saying that everything people do is okay. It is saying that in spite of what you are and what you are doing right now, I have set my heart like a flint for my God, and I am choosing to love no matter what. I think Jeff said this when he preached that day, was the example of the young man who killed. It wasn't a young man who killed. I forget the story now. Cop killed his brother and he forgave her, yes, inside of the courtroom. And not only did he hug her, so did the judge. That was an example of how we're supposed to consistently love whether we feel like loving or not. Amen? 1 John 3:10, and in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. And there you are. He's saying, this is what it looks like. You're going to have a manifestation of who is the children of God and who is the children that belong to the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So we don't get to pick and choose. And that means that we have to act in a manner of love and include other people in our life. It's easy to say you love people. If you, like, see a prayer need on Facebook and you put little prayer hands and you didn't pray, all you did was copy an emoji. Am I right? That doesn't mean you really prayed. It just means I copied that. That's good. Yeah. I'm going to pray for you. But did you pray for them? See, just because we say we love somebody doesn't mean we love somebody. We could have just copied an emoji. See, because loving somebody means that we have to a lot of times die to what we feel in our soul. Because some people are not easy to love. And so we're like, okay, I ain't loving you. You don't deserve my love. Well, I don't know, but I didn't deserve his love. Did you? I mean, we don't deserve what he gave to us. We could never earn it. We still can. But there, love is a choice. Love is a choice that I'm going to consistently go before the Lord, and I have got to ask him for his heart that I can love the people who are not lovely. And so every time you do that, God will, he may take a little bit of something out of you. He might take a little bit of bitterness. He might take a little bit of unforgiveness. He might take a little bit of adjusting inside of you to get you to be able to love like he does. But one thing he is insistent upon is that we love one another. And so here we are as the body of Christ, and we are preparing a way for our God to come. How will we do this if we refuse love? How will we do this if we insist on our own way because people don't deserve it? And people don't deserve it. How many of you know everybody doesn't deserve love? They don't. Okay? And some people are really stinkers. And it makes it hard. But Jesus loves them the way he loved Peter, James, John, and Paul. I would have dumped Paul. I would be like, if I was God, he would have been a grease spot on that road to Damascus. That's why I'm not God. Okay, and I love, I'm like, what? Long before that time, you know. And so that's why I'm not God. But God always loves. God is love, amen? And he loves everyone at all times. That's why we are here. That's why we are disciples. That's why he wants to transform us so that he can get the whole world to know his goodness. Because knowing the goodness of the Lord will change them from the inside out. And they will not know his goodness if they don't know somebody who loves him and loves them. It is always about relationship. Amen? Okay. Love is the most powerful force in the whole universe. And so we have to choose it, and we have to choose to use it well. Okay, the next thing God's looking for in disciples is to be willing. Oh, I did that part. I told you about laying down your life for the gospel. Did you get it? Okay, because we are the children of God. And so as we are the children of God, he is revealed through us and in us so that other people can take what we know and apply it to their life. Amen? You know that you can fall more and more in love with him as you behold him over and over. That is right. Okay. So there is something going on in this atmosphere. Did you guys leave me when I talked about Democrats and Republicans? Did you? All right. Well, I'm not going to just keep doing this because I'm not making up words. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I charge this atmosphere with your spirit and your anointing. Okay, pray in the spirit. I don't hear you. Father, I just speak right now into the atmosphere of division or offense in Jesus' name. And we say, Satan, you are not allowed to operate in this house. In Jesus' name, we choose love. We choose unity. Our love for God is higher, higher than any opinions. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. About love, but I feel like you felt like what I said before wasn't delivered in love. And so if you feel that way, I am really sorry. And if I come across as strong or I am not going to use an excuse that I'm a prophet to say things that are too harsh. But I'm also never going to be weak on truth. I pray for those of you who do not know my life that you are not offended by how I do things, but that you will understand and give opportunity for you to come to know who I am and what I'm speaking. That whatever I am telling you, it is delivered in love because I love you for the highest good. So if I have to say something that is corrective or that enlightens you or that sounds hard, I just want you to know it isn't without a heart before the Lord because I am a person who loves entirely. And so, whether you receive it or whether you don't, you can always count on one thing. Whatever I tell you, it's because I love you. It's not because I'm mad. It's not because I'm trying to prove something. I'm doing it out of a heart of love because I love God enough that when I find it in His Word, I'm going to tell you the truth. And when I know it can affect other people adversely, I'm still going to tell you the truth. And so I just want you to know. And so, you know, I was asking the Lord, what is going on? And He said, you need to adjust everything by telling them the truth about your heart. And I have to say, I'm the one that has been rebuked a million times. I have had to live this kind of a life where when God talks to me, I have to have my heart adjusted. And, you know, if you're around long enough, you'll hear me all the time telling on myself. Because I believe that being transparent is necessary for other people to be able to be transparent. And so if you don't know that, I mean, if you look at somebody and think they're walking in a perfect life, they're not. And it doesn't matter what title they have or what they're called to do. And so, you know, I have been tested on this so many times and continue to be tested on it because I have opinions. I do. I have opinions. So even while I was gone at Christian International, I was having a hard time with some of the things that, now don't go listen to all the things and try to figure out what I was upset about. Don't do it. I loved it. It was a great conference. I love all those people there. They're a part of my training, and they always will be. And so, but you know, when the Lord starts digging in your heart about stuff, and you think you're doing pretty good, and I'm like, what's wrong? You know, I'm thinking He's going to show me something wrong with everybody else. And He goes, oh, I'm going to show you what's wrong with you. I go, you first. That's the truth. And so I'm like, God, what is going on with me? And He said, well, He said, if they're not against us, they're for us. I go, yeah, I know that. And He goes, no, you don't know that. He said, you need to really understand this, because what I'm bringing to the body of Christ and what I want to do on the earth is going to take more than someone acquiescing to that statement. It's going to take people who are willing to dig it out of their heart and say, I am not going to judge another person because I think I have a better revelation on that than they do. Oh, I know none of you do that. And so the body of Christ is made up of all these different people. There's all these different denominations who really believe what they believe. And as I said, I've changed some of my belief system when I got a new revelation on what I believed, because the Bible has to be my final revelation. And so when I hear something and I have to adjust myself, who am I to decide what God is doing in their life and when? And so when we as disciples of Christ are unable to look at someone else because they don't have, you know, that a lot of people don't pray in the Spirit. I personally couldn't live without that. That is my, I don't know, it's there, it's in the Bible. It says if you ask for it, you get it. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, He's not going to give you a stone. I think it's very clear. I got it when I was 13. I've been praying in the Spirit since I was 13. I don't understand how people stay strong. It says it builds yourself up in the most holy faith. I mean, I just believe that what was just demonstrated is an absolute. It's not really optional to me. Do you understand? And yet there are other people in the body of Christ that have fruit of the Spirit that is so dynamic, and they've never uttered speaking in tongues. They've never had their prayer language that they've activated. Now, I believe there's a lot of people that are spirit-filled that just haven't opened their mouth to let it out because they just don't understand what to do with all that. But it's not up to me to decide when it is that they're going to understand that. You know, we have to love people wherever they are in their journey. And so speaking in tongues is not the end all to who you are as a person. To charismatics, a lot of times it is. Charismatics think, well, I speak in tongues now, I'm cool. I can do anything because I speak in tongues. I mean, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, you know. And so it's not a sign of your maturity. It's a sign that you read something and it came alive and you surrendered to it. That's all it is. It builds you up if you use it properly, but that is not a sign of your maturity level. There are so many other things in the Bible that we need to adhere to besides praying in the Spirit. There are so many other things like, you know, goodness and kindness. I mean, these are fruits of the Spirit. Purity. You know, long-suffering. How many of you long-suffering? I want to see you out there in with the traffic. That'll be your long-suffering test right there in South Florida. So I am saying that to say this. If we are chasing after God with all of our hearts, he is going to go after you for your entire life. And he's going to ask you to let him adjust your thinking because he is trying to transform you into a person that can actually change society, influence people that could not be influenced any other way. He's looking for people who are transparent and moldable into his image. And when he is not pleased with you, he was not pleased with me. And then I was horrified at me. Because if God puts his finger on something and you try to talk him out of it, then you're not listening to him and you're not going to be transformed. I always hate it, but he told me this a long time ago. If I showed you all the things that are wrong with you, you'd never make it through. He goes, I only show you what you're ready to be revealed so that I can deal with it and heal you. Because that's a God of love that we serve. And so we have to understand that we are in a continual process. I mean, we look at these disciples as though they were perfect, and yet you know that they had to be confronted all the time. There was confrontation going on between them. You know why? Because no one is perfect. And until Jesus comes, we're not going to be perfect, but we can be perfect in our honor for him. It all depends on how we respond to him when he tries to put us to the test. And when he says, okay, this is going to cost you. As soon as he says this is going to cost you, you drop it like a hot potato. I mean, it's like, I already gave everything up. What are you asking for this time? Like, no. You know, but I love you, God. No. No, love makes you act different. Love requires things of you. Love makes you uncomfortable. And so I was uncomfortable. I was very uncomfortable. I'm like, okay, God, then, I am the person who started our truth ministry, which digs root problems out of people and gets them free. And I had to do that. I had to give God permission to dig stuff out of my heart that wasn't pleasing to him and to kick that thing out, renounce it, replace it with the truth, and then change my thinking. So if I say that to the Lord and I do not adjust my thinking, Satan will torment me. You know that. Because I have to be righteous in his eyes. I'm not losing my right standing for anybody, including myself. Like, whatever has to die, has to die. And so, how could I lead others if I'm not willing to do what I'm asking you to do? And so, that is just my life. And over, God doesn't leave me alone. He still calls me unto himself and requires a higher answer, a higher way of living, a higher call. Now, I know that there's a lot of people that I really love that are getting really old. And these are generals. I'm telling you, they're generals in the kingdom. They have won a lot of souls. They've done a lot of good. They've changed a lot of lives. And they're going to exit this earth. Some people believe in people getting mantles, and other people don't believe in people getting mantles of people. But I'll tell you something, that the Bible says there's an impartation. There's an impartation that happens when someone lays hands on somebody with purpose. And I just don't know who is going to be able to receive impartation when these generals live, because they are large. I believe what they are carrying on the inside is for more than one person. I believe that God is readying a people that are able to say, Lord, we can't go without that kind of leader. We need that kind of leader to still be stable in the body of Christ. We need to, and so if you have to use me, then use me. And I don't know what, I mean, There's callings that God is dropping right now from heaven, because we're living in a different place than we've ever lived before. You say, well, are you saying that, you know, the rapture's coming? I'm not saying anything. I'm saying this. We have to ready ourselves for him. We have to prepare the way for him. Everybody thinks Jesus is coming. He said, I'm coming soon, 2,000 years ago. He's coming. He promised he's coming, but he's coming for people that have readied the place for him to return. And I don't believe that we as the people of God have positioned ourselves totally. I believe we are positioning ourselves. I believe that we've changed. I believe that there's a lot of people that are bringing what he is saying. I believe that there is many, many people that are heralding truth right now, that are coming together and saying, wow, I can see something that is beyond my sight. I wore these because these are binoculars. And I am like, God, I want to see past what prophetic statement. I want to see past what I already have seen. I don't want to just see what I've already known. I don't want to just see you as I've already seen you. I want to see something that is further and deeper and higher and calls me to a place that is so uncomfortable for me that I have to die again, because I will not be satisfied until I become the vessel that you want me to be so that other people can benefit by it. And so it is not about us individually making ourselves better or becoming something for somebody to look to, other than becoming servants of God that are humble before him, that people can trust because they know they've laid down their life for the gospel. So where do we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and slap us around? Where do we bear our hearts before him and say, whatever you need to do, you can do, and whatever I need to change, I will change. Those people are who he's looking for right now, because he's raising up an army. He's raising up an army that doesn't look like the army that he's had before. Because people are going to have to align shoulder to shoulder in a way they've never had to before, because this world has taken its toll. Society is sick. It is sick. And somebody has to hold a standard of righteousness. I mean, I see things come across. My God, I can't even believe that this is happening in the world we live in. I can't believe what they are training our children to believe. I can't believe that their minds are being filled with such horrible nonsense that comes straight from the pit of hell. I can't believe that Christians are remaining silent against it, and that, you know, we are now living in a place where we allowed them to take prayer out of our schools. And we have seen what has happened to our schools because of that. But that is the tip of the iceberg in what is happening now in society and what we are in position to either win or lose. And so God is looking for somebody. He's looking for a bunch of somebodies. He's looking for people who are going to say, this is not happening on my watch. They are going to begin to pray, and they are going to intercede, and they're going to prophesy into the wind. They are going to send things into atmospheres. They're going to be like riding around those schools and saying, this ain't happening in this school. This ain't happening in my city. This ain't happening in my United States. This is not going to happen where I'm from. This is not going to happen in my country. This is not going to happen, because I am sending forth the truth. And because they know who they are, and because they have right standing with God. Do you know that I know that my prayers are effective the minute that I confess my sins? Even when he has to tell me that you got to adjust this and you got to get past this and you messed up here. The minute I say to God, I am sorry. Amen. Then all of a sudden I can rise back up. Well, Pastor Don, you're so human. Yes, you crazy people. Of course I'm human. I'm standing in front of you as a human being that has the same temptations that you have. I can be offended. I can be hurt. I can be judgmental. I can do all these things, and it's still sin. You know, it might not be the sin that other people think, you know, well, Pastor John's not going to do it. You're right. I ain't going to do that kind of sin. But there's always a way, as Satan knows, to get to you, because here's what he's afraid of. You having enough purity to take him on and win. And there is nothing that he can do if you know you have a clean slate. Say, oh yeah, he comes, tells you, well, what about you had judgment in your heart? Well, I don't know. I got judgment against you. And you're going to listen. Because I have authority given to me by Jesus Christ. Because I know how to humble myself. I know how to pray. I know how to turn from my wicked ways. And so, how can we be disciples and reproduce? If you reproduced after your own kind right now, what would that look like? I think that's what God's wanting to say. Do you really want to reproduce everything you have right now on the inside of you? I didn't when I found out I had some. I mean, and that's what I believe God is doing. I have been praying this prayer, so just so you know, I've been praying it against you, because it's a good thing for conviction. Everything hidden will be brought into the light. Because in the same way that he deals with me, I believe he wants to deal with all of his people. And I believe it's going to be necessary for us to grow up and to go on and to be the difference who God wants us to be in the world. And so when God starts doing this on your heart and he starts saying, but what about this? And what about that? You know that it doesn't feel good. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that no correction at the time is pleasant. but it brings about the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised by it. So you know when God's going to bring you correction, it ain't going to feel good. But it'll feel real good when you do what he asks you to. Then his life will spring forth, and then you can have confidence, and then you can rule and reign the way that he has called you to rule and reign on this earth right now. So, I mean, I could get into eschatology at that moment, but I won't. Okay. All right, I'm going to end with these 3 points. I'm going to do it fast, I think. All right, I want you to go to 1 John 2, verse 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, if you look at those scriptures, it seems like he's repeating things over and over. But I think we miss the message that John is trying to get us to see. So I broke it down into what he said, because he says twice to little children, twice to young men, and twice to fathers. Why is he reiterating this? Because he can't scream on paper. He's trying to get our attention, okay? So he's got something to say to us. So here's what he said to little children. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So the first thing is, we know that the little children are little children. They just got saved. It's not talking about how old they are. He's talking about you babies. You babies in Christ, your sins were forgiven you. Okay? And then the next time he addresses them, he says, because you've known the Father. So now he's saying your sins are forgiven for his name's sake, and now you know Daddy. You got saved because you know Jesus, and now you know Dad. Okay, then he says to the young men, he says, because you have known him who is from the beginning. He said, you know him. You know Jesus. He's from the beginning. Because you are, then he says to them, I'm writing to you because you're strong. I'm writing to you because the word of God abides in you. I'm writing to you because you have overcome the wicked one. He's saying now, you started out like little children, but now you're young men. Now you have grown. You've got some maturity in you, and you are strong, and you got strong because you got the word in you. You got strong because you've overcome the wicked one. You've been through some battles, and you won. He's like, this is who you are. So young men, pay attention to what I'm saying. And so then he goes to, they progress from salvation. They went from salvation into being strong and secure in who they are and doing exploits in his name. And then he says this to the fathers, which I love this. He says, because you've known him who is from the beginning. And then the second time he talks to them, he says, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I'm like, God, why did you say the same thing to the fathers? Because they allowed him to be their father from the beginning, during the interim, and when they are old. They are fathers that can father because they've known him, and then 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 they've known him, and they've been able to model it for the children and for the young men, and now they are still fathers because they've known him from glory to glory to glory. God does not waste his words in the Bible. There are hidden treasures for us to know. And he's saying, he's calling upon children, young people to come into, old people to come into salvation, middle-aged people to come into salvation. They're still children. Just because you get saved doesn't mean you have it. That's why we had to pray for Kanye. I can't even say his name right. But we prayed for him because he's just a child. He's just a child. He just needs our prayers. He doesn't need our nastiness. Body of Christ. We prayed for people to come out of the music industry and into the kingdom, and then they do, and we swat them because we think they are not good enough. Well, of course he's not good enough, yet he's a baby. We need to be praying for him. We need to be praying for the other ones like him, little children, because you know him. That's all. He just knows him. He just knows he was once in darkness and now he's in light. That's all he knows right now. Don't go to him for doctrine. This is what people do. They go, oh, you're famous. Tell me what you believe about the word. He goes, I don't know. He's asking somebody to have Bible studies to teach him about the word because he's smart enough to know he doesn't know about the word. Why would we ask him his doctrine? He is not going to have the doctrine we need. He is going to need us to show him doctrine. Then, young men, God's calling upon those that have been living this Christian life, that have heard the truth of the gospel. And now he's saying, okay, you can't just know about it. You can't just be saved and go, yay, I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven. I got my fire insurance. I'm good. I'm not going to go to hell. Yay, that's good enough for me. No, it isn't. He's looking for the young people. He's looking for the middle people. He's looking for the ones who are going to say, okay, I've set myself as a flint. I've received salvation, and now I want to grow. I want to know what the Bible has to say. I have the devil on my back, but I want to know how to win. And they're trained, and they start winning some battles, and they get strong, and then they reach over to the person next to them and go, I know just how you feel because I've been there. And when I was there, this is the shield that I lifted up. These were the words of my mouth. This is how I won this battle. Let me help you. Because we cannot stay in a baby state and win. And then there are those among us that need to be fathers, spiritual adults. I don't care what age you are. You can be a spiritual adult way better than some people who are young. Way better than some people who are really old. It all depends on how you let the Holy Spirit temper you. How you submitted to the call of God. How you responded to what he had to say to you. But in all of these cases, John is bringing about the most important part. And that is, he told us to love one another. And if you say that you love him, but you don't love one another, you're lying to yourself. Because love is what brings children into their young years of winning and brings those people into being fathers. Because without love, it crashes. So if you can't control your temper and you can't be nice to people, and you can't be kind, and you don't walk in the fruit of the Spirit, how are we going to influence society? Because we act and talk just like them. And so God is calling me. He's calling you. He's calling all of us into this place where he's saying, come up higher. Just come up higher. Because something is on the horizon that God wants to bring. You know, They said this, and I do adhere to this, is that revival is personal. Transformation is eternal. you know, people are, we don't know what else to call it, so we call it revival. I mean, I'm not against revival, goodness, but the way that we think of revival is what I'm trying to expand our thinking, okay? Revival, in most of our minds, remembers a set time of history where things happened, where God had an opportunity to get a lot of people saved and trained. And so, and then they end. Okay, but transformation continues. And we need more than revival right now. It is true that we need to be revived. We are Christians that need to be revived. But we need more than to just be lit up again. We can pray loud. We can lay on the floor. We can shimim oshaya across there. We could roll down the aisles. We could do all of that. But that isn't what we need right now. We need to get an event with Jesus Christ on a one-on-one basis so that we become the transformers that are able to speak truth into people's lives and to ourselves, adhere to it, and lead the way. So how will society be transformed? By taking a hold of somebody that you know has potential and that you know something that they don't know. Well, maybe they just got saved. Then tell them everything you know about being saved. Well, what if they're the middle section? They've been in church all their life. They know a whole lot of stuff. Well, good. Go find them and sit yourself down by them and say, okay, teach me everything you know, Barnabas. And then what if you're the father whose responsibility it is? Because you've led the way and God has entrusted you with gifts. He's entrusted you to tell the truth. And he's waiting for you to have boldness to do it like they did in Acts. They said, Father, grant unto us boldness that we make proclaim. Not just every once in a while when an opening comes where I don't, you know, bother somebody. They said that we will proclaim your word and that signs and wonders will follow us. God is not going to count on people who won't even talk about Jesus Christ to operate in signs and wonders properly. I said properly. If they can't love him first and do it his way. And boldness comes when you are in right standing with him. Boldness comes because you're underneath his covering and you know it. You know who he is and you can't help but proclaim it. Amen? So, God is asking for some things from all of us. And I guess it's up to us to say yes or no once again. This will continue until you die, by the way. Say, well, you're always asking people to examine their heart. Yeah. Always. I'm always going to. You know why? Because God's always doing it with me. Jesus always did it with his disciples. It won't stop until we're with him. Because there's always something that could be better. Amen? So bow your head. So, Father, right now, I just thank you for, I thank you for redeeming this time right here today. Lord, I thank you for the ability, God, to be transparent and to be honoring of you and you alone. Lord, I thank you that you love us unconditionally. But God, I'm asking for you to help us today to love you and all of those around us unconditionally as you would have us to do. So Father, right now I ask for Holy Spirit conviction. It's not easy. It's not easy to let you tell us everything. But Lord, you're so good. You won't tell us everything. You'll just tell us the thing we need to adjust right now. And so, Lord, we count on that. And so if there's something you need to adjust on the inside of us, Lord, then we ask that you do it right now. Now, when I do this, he's going to bring a thought to you, like something that you did or something that you wish you would have done better, or maybe he'll remind you of a person that you need to reconcile, whether something you need to do, something you need to say. But whatever, the Holy Spirit is faithful. He's faithful. And if you ask him to go ahead and to adjust you, he'll adjust you today. And it's only until you surrender that it's a problem. Once you surrender, there's nothing but peace and joy on the other side. And so right now, if he's knocking on your door like he knocked on mine, then just open your door to your heart and let him go through every room in your house. Started a good work in us, Lord, and we want it to be completed. If there's anyone here today and you'd say, I don't know if he really started that good work in me, then I'll be glad to pray with you, because it starts with sonship of just knowing him. That's the first step. So if there's anybody who needs to make that commitment to him, then just raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here that needs to make that commitment? Okay, so the next commitment is to become more like him. And so if there's things that the Lord is highlighting to you that needs to change, at his feet, he'll never pick it up again, and you shouldn't either. You can be free, free, free today. And I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, for that. I thank you for your power. And maybe God is dealing with you to become the next level. Maybe you've already been in one place, one position, and you know it. You know what you know. But God may be saying, come up higher. Go beyond being a child. Go beyond being a teenager in the spirit. And rise into your proper position to lead and to be an example. And so if that's you today, you've got to release that to God and ask him to help you. And he'll do that. Lord, I thank you for the many people, Lord, that have the word on the inside and have truth on the inside and the spirit moving within them. Now, Lord, I call them up higher. I call them into a place of greater commitment. I call them into a place of greater oneness with you, of greater love. And God, I thank you that as we declare it, it is released to give opportunity. And so, Father, we take it, Lord, from you, Lord. We receive the responsibility along with the authority. We receive it in your name, Lord. And I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that we are answering your call to come up higher. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I don't believe that this will be something that you will be able to walk away from and not think about. I believe that God is going to leave deposits inside of you. And if you give him permission, he'll be adjusting you along the way, because that's how he is. And so he's a good God. Amen. He is good in the morning. He is good in the noontime. And he is good in the evening. And we will always proclaim his goodness. Amen? Amen. All right. I do love you. Okay. But who do we love the most? And who does he love the most? All right. Go love somebody.